All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, November 26th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a eight-game NBA main slate. We have 15 NHL games tonight, so going to be a crazy NHL slate. And then we have the Thanksgiving three-game NFL main slate on tap for tomorrow. So it should be a couple fun days here of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. You can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. This will actually be the last show of the week, given the Thanksgiving holiday here. So we will be back next Monday, but still plenty of time to get questions in, get questions answered. We have quite a few questions queued up here for today's show. So we are going to jump right in. Got the Thanksgiving NFL slate pulled up, and we are just going to work from the top down with questions that came in already. So first question of the day. How do I set up the sim in large 150 sets so my final lineups do not include lineups with a Saber score of less than 25 and also separately having a min ROI threshold? Okay, so let's say that you have two groups, right? And maybe I have a 150 group and I have a 20 max group. And maybe I want to do something different for each group, right? So let's say I'll build 1500 lineups here. And we're going to let these lineups run. All right, lineups are finishing up. And we're just waiting for the lineups to load. Okay, so we get into the post build, right? I have my pool of lineups. I have my two groups. I'm going to set them both to Saber score. Say that again. What we need to understand are the different filtering options. You effectively have two options. You can either one, filter your pool, or two, you can filter an individual group. Okay. So imagine that, you know, we'll call this group one, right? Group one takes the lineups from your pool and then uses those, right? It can resort them if you use a different sorting metric. It can only consider a subset of those if you filter, et cetera, right? Now, the lineups in the pool are all of the lineups available for each individual group. So if you put a pool filter here, right, to say, hey, I want to look at lineups with a Saber score, for instance, call it a Saber score. Show lineups with Saber score greater than 25, right? This is going to say, okay, we're going to remove 1,200 lineups that are below that Saber score and only leave you 410. Now, the groups can only pool from the 410 that are left. That's one option. But what if you only wanted this to apply to your 150 sets? You're like, you know what? For my 20 max, I'm actually okay with going lower there. Then what you would want to do is you would not want to put the filter on the pool. You would instead want to put the filter on that specific 150 group, right? I go in and I filter here, right? Now what's happening, if I hover over this filter, it's going to tell me that, hey, you have 410 lineups available in this group, and we have filtered out, effectively trashed, the other 1,232 lineups here, right? Now, that's only for this group. The 20-max group has all 1,600 lineups available. So filtering on a group level only affects that group, and then filtering on the pool level affects all groups. So just keep that in mind when you want to be specific with that. And can you have an ROI min threshold? Yes, absolutely you can. If you run Sims and then you come in and then you set up a filter, when you run contest Sims are going to be available in this dropdown, right? Like if I were to go to the contest tab and let's say I turn on one, I want to turn on a little bit smaller one. We'll turn on this $3 20 max wishbone. And then I click run contest sim. So now my one sim is running. And then again, you know, you could do this one of two ways. You need to be a little bit careful with this, actually. It's probably a good clarification. So let's say you're playing two contests, right? Well, if you come in and you set a pool filter that says something like target contest ROI greater than zero. If you have multiple contests in this, it's going to use the average ROI across all the contests in this list on the pool level. Okay. If you want it contest by contest, then what I would do is I would use the target ROI, but I would use it within each group. Okay. So then within the group, I would go and I would set up the say that again. This will only apply to, it'll basically identify, okay, hey, which contest is in this group? If you're using one group per contest, there's only going to be one. And then it's going to use the ROI for that contest, right? If you have two contests, it's going to use the average ROI across the two. So, but if you're using one group per contest, target ROI greater than zero on the group filters are the way that you're going to want to go. All right. Think we knocked out that question. Let me know if there's any follow-up. Next question. I've heard various SaberSim people say to mix diversifier contests with elevators in addition to entry fee and effective entrance. How should elevator contests be selected across NBA and NFL? And does the strategy vary classic to showdown? Okay, so this this nomenclature between diversifier and elevator contests are from some older SaberSim content that we used to have based around contest selection. I believe it was our profit plan. That was a that was effectively two backtesting projects ago, where we would say like 25 to 50% of your contests should be single entry and 3 max, and 50 to 75% should be 20 max and 150 max. That is where this idea comes from. Now, where we have changed this is that in our newest, latest backtesting project, we have moved away from these suggestions. So what I think you're hearing is maybe people who have been in the ecosystem basically kind of combining the old recommendations with the new recommendations. That's what I think you're like most likely hearing. Now, the way we currently recommend doing this is going into the contest tab, sorting by effective entrance, high to low. If you have access to low stakes contests, you first want to start with contests less than $3. You want to play contests where the top prize is greater than or equal to your wager. Let's say you're playing $200 tomorrow. Okay. I'm going to set this greater than or equal to $200. And I want to look at contests that have a effective entrance 300 or greater, right? So I set up these filters. I would start from the top down. These are the first contests I would play. It is a mix a little bit here, right? Single entry, 20 max, 3 max, 20 max, 20 max, 150, 150, and then another 20 max, right? Now, from here, depending on, you know, how much money this is, right? I said I'm going to play $200. Okay. Well, this is 24, 29, 31, 106, 146. It's under 150, right? Okay. So what do I do now? Well, now what I would probably I'm gonna effectively loosen my restrictions, right? Now I want to see if there are any lineups or any contests with a prize pool less than $25,000 and a fee less than $5 that I wasn't previously playing. And it doesn't look, oh, there is, right? So now we would add in the $3 3 max. That's another $9, right? So we're somewhere around $155 to $160. Okay, great. Well, now what I would probably do is just get rid of this prize pool requirement. Now I have access to more contests. And now this $3 20 max looks like it becomes available. So I would add this to my mix, right? Now it's another $60. I'm probably done at that point. But the idea here is filter down to the contests that the Sharks don't have access to that have high effective entrance. And then start to enter contests and then loosen your restrictions up until you meet the amount of money you want to wager on the slate. So there is a video that you can access anytime talking through how to set up those filters. It's in the Office Hours channel in Discord. Go to pinned messages. Setting up contest selection filters in the contest tab. It's a video I recorded. You can go and check that out anytime you need to. And the strategy, just to be clear, would not differ between Classic and Showdown. You would still go through the same steps in both. All right, next question. When I try to download my NBA lineup pool, when I use Late Swap, it doesn't give me the full 5K worth of lineups. I only get about 200 to 300 worth of the lineup pool. Can you show me an example how to download the entire swapped lineup pool? Okay, I do not have access to a slate in progress right now, so I can't walk through exactly how to do this. It sounds like you understand the steps, so this is a little bit more of a question of why am I not getting all of the lineups I'm anticipating, and this probably enters more of like the bug territory than maybe like the how-to territory, right? I think you're past the how-to and I think you understand that part. And it's like, okay, well, why isn't this working, right? So in that event, I think the best thing that you can do is when you do it and it doesn't work the way you expect, go to the top right corner, go to report a problem, send our team a message explaining what's happening and what's wrong and what you're anticipating to happen, right? Exactly what you asked here. Put it in here. This will go to our team. We'll be able to kind of dissect further through this report that comes in with a lot of technical information, what's happening, and then we can try and resolve it from there. So this is the best way to fix problems. I would call this more of a problem. So do that for us, and then someone from our team will follow up with you. All right. I'd love a quick breakdown on exactly what the difference is between using a lineup group with portfolio versus uniques. Also, maybe touch up on the difference between building lineups using the sim versus optimizer. Okay, so we're going to start with the sim and optimizer first, and then we'll jump into portfolio and uniques. So let's go into a build. And then we're going to go to the build settings. Once this loads. All right, so I come into the settings, right? So I have two options for my build mode. I have sim mode and I have optimizer mode, okay? Now the difference between these is that sim mode will randomly grab sims from each game on the slate, play them out, put the lineups in the pool. And it isn't until the lineups go into the pool that the lineups get ranked. So we're just generating lineups from different subsets of sims and then putting them in your pool and then kind of grading them right after the fact. Now, what happens here with optimizer mode is we will build, we will look at the average projection specifically, and then we will build the mathematical highest projected score lineup first, and then we will build the mathematical second highest projected, and then the third, and then the fourth. Sim mode doesn't do that. Sim mode does not use average projections. Sim mode uses the average of however many sims it grabbed. So the sim diversity slider basically controls how many sims from each game we're using each time we build a lineup. Optimizer mode is using the average score in the app, which is the average across all the sims. And there's 25,000 sims of each game on the slate. Sim mode might use 5 sims of 25,000 per game, might use 20, might use 100, but it's never all of them unless sim diversity is turned off at 0. So the big thing is that optimizer mode, mathematical problem, sim mode, more random, more chance of finding players that might not grade out well on average, but actually have more upside than the field is anticipating. And sim mode is always going to be better for GPPs. Optimizer mode is always going to be better for head-to-heads, cash games, slates of like that nature. Or contests of that nature, actually. All right. And then with regard to portfolio versus uniques. All right. I went and entered a contest real quick just so we could talk about this. All right. Let's go one group per contest. Okay, and then we're going to manually change this to 20 lineups. So let's say we're building 20 lineups for the Dime package, right? And by default, I'm going to use portfolio. Well, what is the difference between portfolio and uniques, right? First off, we do have a video breaking this down. I just want to call it out. In our support library, SaberSim Tutorials, using the portfolio diversifier, we'll talk about this. So I'm just going to drop this here in the chat. We are still going to talk about it here, but just want to make that known. All right. So I get into this build and I have 20 lineups in one contest. Okay. Looks like this aggregate metric isn't. Let's go here real quick. Okay. Let's turn this one off. All right, we're going to run the sim again. So now we're running the sim for the Dime package, and we're going to diversify. All right, cool. So we see our average ROI. We see our lineups are sorted by portfolio. So what is the difference here, right? So portfolio, well, actually, let's just talk about ROI. So ROI first, right? Uniques one ROI. It's going to give you the lineups that are the highest ROI top down. 179, 173, 172.5, 172.1, right? Highest ROI to lowest. Very straightforward. Portfolio, it uses ROI as the main metric that it's optimizing around. However, it goes a step further and it basically figures out, well, which two lineups play the best together. Okay. Now, you can see this when you sort, say, like 20 lineups, for instance. This was working. Now it's not. Okay, I have to re-diversify because I changed the number. My bad. All right, re-diversify. Notice here how these lineups, one, are all positive ROI, but two, they are now out of order. So basically what SaberSim is doing with portfolio is it's saying, hey, I understand how all these lineups are good, but which lineups perform the best together? Which lineups complement each other the best, right? If we go back to the Uniques One ROI and we look at these lineups top down, the top two lineups are a 1v1 off of each other. They both have Jackson, Gibbs, Brown. They all have Chase, Flowers, Andrews, Likely, Cowboys, and they only swap Worthy for Jamison Williams, right? They are a one-for-one swap here. And it's basically these combination of players that are leading to this high ROI. If you go to portfolio again, can we go back to 20 lineups? And then we diversify. We actually don't even see that 173 lineup, which is the second highest ROI, within the top 20 here. Instead, SaberSim would rather play a lineup that is actually extremely different than that other lineup. This lineup has Mahomes, Javonte Williams, Henry, Watson, Rice, Flowers, Kelsey, Andrews, Ravens. These lineups only share two players. It shares Andrews and it shares Flowers. All of these other players are different. So SaberSim is saying, well, when you play these two lineups together, your results in the long run end up being better. They end up being less swingy and you perform better in the long run, right? That makes sense because your other two lineups are probably fighting each other for first place equity. And these two lineups aren't. And when one's performing poorly, well, maybe the other one is performing well. So our portfolio is ultimately a lot smarter in the way that it selects lineups, and which is why it is our current best sorting method and the one that we recommend the most. All right, next question. Why do some slates have portfolio sim EV and flashback ROI and some don't? I'm not sure why it doesn't pop up here all the time, but you can always access your flashback ROI by going into the contest tab and looking at the contest that you played. So like, for instance, let's say I played NBA yesterday. I go back to yesterday. I go back to the DK NBA main slate. The flashback ROI kind of number that you see in the games panel is really just a average of your ROIs in the contest that you played in the contest tab. So say you played some lineups in the flagship. Okay, I go to the flagship and then I go over to users. And then I would come in here and then I would find myself and then I would see what my sim ROI is. So that's more of like a summary statistic. I don't know why it's sometimes popping up and sometimes not. If you see that, you can always send us a report and our team can kind of look into that and kind of see where some of the inconsistencies are happening. But your flashback ROI should always be accessible here. Portfolio EV is a sum. We answered this on yesterday's show. When the slate is in progress, all the games have locked, you're going to have a sim EV column, and it'll tell you where we think you're going to end up in a specific contest. Portfolio EV is basically a summary of that at like the last point in the slate where we ran the live sims. So if you're not seeing it and you feel like you should be, let us know, and we can figure out why it's happening And sometimes I think it's related to the post-contest sim timing, but better for our team to figure that out. All right, next question. Hi, what do you recommend for rules on three games? Allow players versus defense. NFL just upgraded. I'm excited. Right on. So on a three-game slate, right? And I think this goes for like any sport. The less games on the slate, the less restrictive you want to be. So yeah, maybe you always want to pair a quarterback with a pass catcher. Maybe that's a good rule, you know, normally, right? On a big 11-game slate or something like that. But on a three-game slate, hey, you know, the less games on the slate, the higher the variance is. That's why Showdown is like the most high variance form of DFS, because, you know, a starting quarterback can get hurt. You know, Baker Mayfield gets hurt. Teddy Bridgewater comes in. Position players can get hurt. It could be a blowout, right? It can be so far away from the average. So the less games, the higher the variance, kind of the more you want to take the reins off, like let go of the reins a little bit and let the sim kind of capture some of that weirdness. Because usually, right, rules are kind of based in what happens most often, right? Like, yeah, usually you want to pair your quarterback with at least one pass catcher because there's correlation there, right? Usually you don't want to play your defense against a position player because when Derrick Henry runs a touchdown, the Bengals D gets negative points, right? So there's all these kind of usuallys that get captured with rules. Well, when there's less games on the slate, I think you should care less about the usuallys and let the sim kind of figure out, well, how often is this outcome optimal and how often do we think you should play that combination, right? I think that those are questions maybe better left to the sims figuring out. And, you know, that's at least how I approach it. All right, next question. With only three games on the Thanksgiving slate, I'm trying to do some unique builds to avoid chopping. I don't want to degrade too much, but how do you feel about these two ideas? Number one, setting a max ownership rule to say 200% or something. Or two, simming 500 lineups and unchecking the five stack exposures to create unique lineups and resimming using less popular constructions. All right, interesting question. So it would depend where you got. So first off, I like number one more. Okay. I like number one more. Now, I don't know if I would use 200%. The way I would approach this is I would build my pool of lineups, however many lineups you can build. And then I like to filter out lineups without a specific number in mind, where I just take a percentage of the pool away. So like what I would do is I would set up a some ownership filter and I would say, hey, I want to look at lineups where some ownership is less than X. And I would just make up a number, save it. I would go, okay, how many lineups went in my trash? And here it was only three, right? We're going to have to increase this. But I would say, hey, I want to kind of shoot to get rid of like 10 to 20% of my lineups, right? I want to ignore the highest owned lineups and consider lineups from a smaller category. I don't want to get rid of too many lineups. I don't want to get rid of 50, 75%, but I do want to just kind of chop. Show me lineups with ownership less than, we said 305. Okay, now I need to go lower, 255, right? Okay, that gets rid of 568. Maybe that was too far, right? I need to be around 300. And then you basically just kind of continue to adjust this number until you're happy, right? And maybe I'm happy with 179. You know, 179 is a little more than 10%. So, hey, I'm on the low side there. I can leave it. I can continue to tinker. But I don't have a specific number in mind. I basically because ownership is going to vary slate to slate, right? How concentrated ownership is based on the number of players on the slate, the number of games. So the idea that I could just filter out 10 to 20% does carry slate to slate, even though the number that I'm filtering out changes. Sometimes it's 275, sometimes it's 150, sometimes it's 400, right? It just depends. So I don't have a specific number in mind. I have kind of a specific percentage in mind instead. So that's what I would say there. All right, got a couple of things. You guys are welcome. Glad you guys like those answers. Next question. How can I lock in more exposure on a given team stack? Is it more of a case in updating projections to increase values of players on the team you want more exposure to? All right, so two things with this. Number one is, first off, yes, I would try to set a team stack minimum exposure. Now, if you are having trouble getting your team stack minimum exposure, then I think what you could do is adjust the points for that team. Let's say that I look at my pool exposure, and you know what? Maybe I like Cincinnati with Joe Burrow. I think they're going to come out and be much better than they've been to this point in the season, right? So I want to increase this. I want to give them, you know, maybe three more points. Okay, so I increase this number. I click, and I'll move my face over. Apply changes to game. I click yes. Now I got to do one more thing here. Okay. I got to go to the players tab. I got to go to this gear icon and the my projection. And I have to switch to this new projection source that has appeared called SaberSim Adjusted. Okay. I come in, I click this, I change my source. Now these projections are using not the baseline, but my updated ones, right? We moved up Cincinnati. Hey, Jamar Chase is projected for another point. Gesicki is projected for half a point, right? I can go in and filter by the team, see all of the adjustments that have been made here. But this is what I want to focus on, is increasing the projection to that team, leaving the team stack minimum exposure, and then rebuilding my lineups to try and get more exposure to that team. So just don't forget to change the source. That way there's like SaberSim original and then SaberSim changed based on your changes. So that's what's happening there. And I'm just reading through some of this a little bit. So yeah, sometimes if just the team stack isn't working, you definitely want to change goals or points or whatever it is. All right. That's funny. So that was it. Thank you. I wasn't switching the source, Drake and Lil Yachty meme. I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, right. It's a good one. All right. Sweet. That catches us up on all of the questions that came in here, both prior and live. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back next Monday for our next show. Taking a break for the holiday. Good luck. Good luck to everybody playing some DFS this weekend. And until we chat, take care. Thanks. Bye.